short while, I would invite your attention to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. We begin reading in verse 1, as what we call the Christmas story. Amen. The biblical Christmas story, the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. I will begin reading in verse 1. I'll try not to be long. It won't be like a town that you drive through with one stoplight. Amen. Blink, you just might miss it. Amen.
Amen.
Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2, verse 1, says, "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Your Bible may say taxed. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone, to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." Amen. You may take your seat. In the presence of the Lord, I'm going to speak to you from a subject for a short while. God brings joy. God brings joy. As we continue our series on Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. We started out talking about the promised child in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where it talks about a virgin who was going to bear a child. Amen. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, as we went through those scriptures, it talked about, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Amen. And today is just like Christmas Day. When you wake up in the morning and you open able to unwrap all your gifts, amen. You're no longer shopping anymore. You're no longer talking about gifts anymore. But you are actually under the tree unwrapping those gifts, amen. And that's what we are in Luke 2, where the manifestation of all the 300 prophecies of Jesus Christ has come to the culmination of him being born as a man into the world, amen. Pastor, why was he born into the world as a man? He was born into the world as a man because of the sins of men who turned away from God. And God the Father is a holy and a righteous God, so he required a holy and a righteous sacrifice. Amen. So he sent him, Jesus Christ, in the form of a man, because being God and man, as God he came to take away the sins of the world. Amen. But as man he was able to die. Amen. For the sins of the world. So now here he is in the book. And today we are talking about joy. And I tell y'all all the time, a lot of people think that joy and happiness are synonymous. That is a lie. Happiness depends on what's happening around you. Amen. If you got people around you that's happy, most of the time you're going to be happy. If your money is clicking and everything is going good, more than likely you're happy. Amen. If you're healthy in your body, more than likely you're happy. Amen. If you got a good job, amen, more than likely you're happy. Amen. Everything, all the chips are falling in line, more than likely you're happy. Ain't it right? But happiness is dependent upon people and circumstances outside of you. But joy comes from God, amen. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't care what I'm going through, I still have joy." And old folks said it like this: "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world didn't take it away." See, the world can give you happiness, but it can take it away. But the world cannot take away the joy of the Lord. Because I thought about this text, I thought about three things that'll give you joy. Even for solemn people, it'll give you joy. One of them is when people get married, the announcements of a wedding. Amen. Ain't there something about a wedding that gives you joy? Amen. And if you make it to the wedding, I don't care how hard you are in the wedding, once the ceremony begins, and the people started changing the vows or whatnot, and the songs begin to be sung, amen, and the preacher begins to talk about, take not this lightly, amen. Ain't there something about a wedding that brings joy, amen? And your eyes begin to well, and even the hardest person will begin to cry in a wedding. Ain't that right? Then there's something about a child being born, amen. We can argue about the real child. Some people, when people are married and they have a child, amen, they say after announcements, brother Mark, people are excited and elated because a child is coming into the world. Old folk call it a bundle of joy, ain't that right? But then even if people have children outside of wedlock, people are outside gonna run their mouth and talk about them. But that'll go all go away and dissipate once the child is born, ain't that right? You have mama fighting daddy, grandparents fight everybody, and that baby can come in the house and begin to god god goo goo. I hear people say, well, I'm not gonna take care of the baby. I'm not gonna keep the baby. I'm not gonna watch the baby. And every time you get around, they don't want to with the baby. Ain't that much real joy? But joy comes from the Lord, amen. Hang it on down the Brian Sack. I told y'all I wasn't going to be long, but don't be long enough. Amen. In this, before this text in Luke chapter 1, it talks about an old woman named Elizabeth who becomes pregnant with John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And then when Mary found out that Gabriel showed up to her and said, you're going to have a child. Amen. Mary said, how can this be? Said, I don't know a man. And then the angel said to her, girl, you don't understand. Same thing preacher be trying to tell y'all. With man, it's impossible. But with God, this is not impossible. She goes to see Elizabeth at her old age. Elizabeth is pregnant with John the Baptist. The Bible says in the chapter 1 of St. Luke that when she walked in the door or she had the voice of Mary, that John the Baptist leaped for joy on the inside of Elizabeth. Amen. And that's just for somebody today. Have you ever had good news when you were feeling bad? You didn't see what was coming to give you joy, but just the thought or the hope for that thing just might happen. Amen. That joy began to fill your soul. Ain't that right? And when everybody tried to come against you and tell you you couldn't make it, there was a peace of God that surpasses all understanding that told you, I'm going to make it despite what people think. I'm going to make it despite what people say, I'm gonna make it despite how people feel, because the joy of the Lord. God brings joy. John the Baptist leaped in the womb, amen. And that old woman Elizabeth bore that child. Mary had to go back and tell Joseph, amen, who was he was her boo. He was her boyfriend. He was her promised thing, amen. And she had to go tell him, I'm pregnant with a child, amen. Now hold it. Hold it, sister. We ain't never been together, and you pregnant with a child? And then you got the nerve to tell me that the father is gone. Now, that takes some faith, ain't that right? Matthew said that Joseph was a just man. He got ready to put her away. God put him in a sleep, amen, and he dreamed the fact that Mary was going to have the holy child and name him Jesus, amen, and you got to raise him. I'm trying to tell somebody something in here. Y'all trying to figure out how to tell folks some bad news. Don't tell them no bad news. Just go ahead on and tell them the good news, and don't worry about it, because by the time you get there, God has already fixed your situation. You just got to be man enough or woman enough to stand toe to toe and just tell the truth, because the Bible said the truth shall set you free. So Mary, go ahead on, and here she is. God's divine providence, here it is. Said that the Savior was going to be born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But there's a problem because they are in Nazareth, amen. But y'all do know that the governor taxed everybody to come. Now, the governor had his own thing, but you know the governor was the governor, but God was in charge. Amen. The governor did it because he wanted to know how many males he had to go in the military, Brother Thomas. He also wanted to know how many people was coming in so he could have some taxes.
Now, Rome was the one who said they brought peace to everybody. It was called Pax Romana. And I just told y'all when I started this sermon, men can say there's peace, but it don't mean that there's no peace. Have you ever been in the house and said, this for people who are married or have been dating or live with somebody, amen? Have you ever been in the house, but there ain't no peace in the house, but you ain't arguing, cause you can either argue it out, but they don't even saying nothing no more, but you walk in the house and it's tense in the house, amen? Ain't no peace in the house, ain't that right? And you decide that I'm just gonna have a little bit of peace, amen? I said that to say this, just because you're not arguing, fussing and fighting don't mean that there's peace in the house. But when the Lord shows up, he brings all of them. He brings hope, he brings peace, and then he brings some joy. Amen. And here we are. The governor said, I want all y'all to come so y'all can be taxed. Amen. But God fixed it so that they could come so Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Most folk argue about where he was born in a cave. He was born here and he would listen to me. Listen what I'm saying to y'all. Jesus in his time, they said, well, there was no room at the inn. When you think about inn, you think about a hotel. You think about the Holiday Inn, amen. You think about the Omni Hotel. No, it wasn't like that. And then he was not born in a barn. In Jesus' day, if you studied, most folk went to their family's house when they came to visit during this time. And the family had feeding troughs up under, amen, where they would take care of their animals. But what it really was saying was there was no room for Joseph and Mary to have the baby, so somebody in their family sent them down to the feed trough. And then y'all say, well, that's a bad thing. No, no, no. It's not a bad thing, because it's letting you know that whatever situation you're in, no matter how low you get, God is able to come to you. He didn't go to no king. He didn't go to no religious leader. He came to the common man to show him that God so loved the world that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. That was the reason for his coming. They said you're going to find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. All right. Bethlehem. He's born in Bethlehem. Called the house of bread. In John 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of heaven that comes down out of heaven. Ain't that what he said? And also, he's in a trunk. And that feeding trough that he was in, or we'll go to that manger, amen, it's just a feeding trough, amen. No better place for the bread of life to be than a feeding trough, amen. Not only that, Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. And the manger went to the trough so they can eat. Y'all still don't get it? He was lying in the day in the manger as a baby. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Kurt Franklin said, oh, behold the Lamb, the precious Lamb of God, born in the sin that I may live again, the precious Lamb of God. That same precious Lamb of God was also the one who one day will stand up in John chapter 10 and say, I am the door. I am the shepherd of the sheep, and nobody comes into the sheepfold unless they come through the door. Amen. So here Jesus is in the manger. Mary, and they registered him, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes. All it is they protected the baby. They took rags and put it together so the baby would be held together. And this is for somebody today. Y'all hold y'all children together. When the school won't teach them, y'all got to teach them. Amen. When the preacher won't open the Bible and preach the word of God, you open the Bible and preach it for yourself. Protect your child. Love your child. Care for your child. Be there for your child. Amen. Somebody. That's what that swaddling clothes was. Wow. They saw in verse 7. They bought him for, and he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Look, they laid him in the manger because there was no room at the inn. And here it is, said the shepherds was abiding in the field. I told you that they went to the shepherds. The shepherds were the ones who was not clean enough to go before a governor. Amen. Matter of fact, the shepherds were the ones who was unclean because they were smelling like sheep in the field, so they could not go. So why did the Lord come to the shepherds first and tell the shepherds to go celebrate and tell folk that God is going to be lying in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes? Why go to the shepherds first? Y'all know why? Notice something about this. I told you I'm going to be brief. Notice this. That he called the shepherds to come by night, and the angels of the Lord was around about saying, glory to God in the highest. They sang to the shepherds, right? peace on earth and goodwill toward men. John, if you keep on reading here, he sent the angels out to tell the shepherds to go tell everybody else. The angels didn't go to the people. The shepherd went to the people. The same ones who people shunned. The same ones who people didn't like. The same ones who people thought that they was lower than them. God the Father used them to bring about the good news of him, Jesus Christ. I'm saying to y'all right now, y'all looking to Uncle so-and-so and Aunt so-and-so, but they may have a few dollars, amen. They might have a little education, amen. But if they don't have the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ in their life, they're not qualified to be a witness for the Lord. Notice this was a deal. He sent the shepherds out, right? But he never told the shepherds to take a bath. He never told the shepherds to make themselves clean. Because most of the time, to go into the temple, you would have to purify yourself, amen, and wash yourself with all these washes to make yourself clean. This is for somebody this morning. You don't have to wash yourself for nobody. All you have to do is come to Jesus while you still got time. Give it to the Lord. Give him your bills, give him your family, give him your misunderstanding, give him your sick body, and watch God bring joy to a dead situation.
That's right.
Say, behold an angel. Now ready to go? Before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. That's how you know that the Lord is there, because you get greatly afraid. Now listen to me. You got to be real careful. Because the devil will use something to stop you from having joy. He can't take your joy, but he can stagnate your joy. One reason he stagnates your joy is with fear. When God tells you to do something, you get afraid to do it. Now, you can't operate because you operate in fear and not faith. Because faith is the substance of things. Hope for the evidence of things not seen. Yeah, yeah. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that right? So no matter how you feel, you got to keep on seeking God. No matter what it looks like, you got to keep on obeying God and doing what God tells you to do. Man, come on up here and play some loud music for me so I can go on to the house. Amen. It said, for there is born unto us the city of David a Savior, Christ Jesus our Lord. And this will be the sign. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. It says suddenly the angels in heaven begin to sing. That's what you were looking for, wasn't it, Brother John? You were looking for the angels to sing. But the Bible says that angels sing and they're rejoicing because of one sinner, that they were rejoicing just like Job. When you rejoice, it means you leap for joy. When I came out this morning, y'all was sitting down right there like y'all did not know God. And God was overtaking your mind and overtaking your body and talking about how tired you was and what bill you got to pay. You got to go to work tomorrow. You was wondering if your situation would work out. But I'm a living witness here that if you lay it at God's feet, that God's joy will come. Since the Lord, you know I say it every year. You know I got to say it before I say I am. Joy means this. It means Jesus. It means others. Then it means you. And the reason a lot of us don't have joy comes from selfish. We think about ourselves. Not more and no more. We don't witness no more. When the church stopped feeding folk, when the church stopped caring for folk, when the church stopped praying for folk, you are no longer the church. The church is not here to make you feel good about yourself, but the church is here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ until joy floods your soul. The church is here. Matthew 25. To feed the hungry and clothe the naked. That's why the church is here. God don't care that about your clips. God don't care how long you've been preaching. God don't care how well you've been saying. Only thing God wants to know is do you have the joy of the Lord in your soul? I don't. When I tell you this, that when you got God's joy, it don't matter what happens, you can still give God the praise. I told you, Jimmy. My mama laying out there in the graveyard, brother. Got to go out there and commit her body, but I was dying anyway. Because God promised me that one day, that the God himself would come with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. When I think about my mama and I think about my daddy, I got to live right so I can see them again.